All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Nun Tes. Baruch Hashem, you made a significant dent in it in yesterday's shir. We're starting 20 lines down from the top. Amar Rav, I really want to thank Yehuda for giving this shir while I was gone and doing for such an incredible and in-depth job on each and every blot of Gemara. It's a great schuss to be back here with all of you. And let's begin. Amar Rav, Shabbos, say we're going to begin a really fascinating and riveting sugya. A little bit of a departure from what we were doing before regarding the measurements, locations, placements of the Mizbeach. Gemara introduces a new topic. Amar Rav, Mizbeach Shenifka. So we'll say an interesting case over here. If the Mizbeach was Nifka, literally Nifka means the Mizbeach was chipped. Mizbeach was chipped. So we know, we saw already again in the last couple of blocks how the Mizbeach itself was made. We saw already again the material is used for the Mizbeach. Let's say again the Mizbeach is chipped. So what's the status of the Karbanos? So Rav says, ultimately, again, any carbon that is shechted. What Rav means is as follows. What Rav means is any carbonos that are shechted, bless you, while the mizbeach is chipped, are pasul. Are pasul. So, mikra hu biyadenu vishachnu. And Rav said, I have a pasuk that supports this idea, but I forgot what the pasuk was. So one time when Rav Kahana went and he found Reb Shimon Berebi, who was saying over there, Reb Shimon Berebi Yossi, "Minayim Mizbeach Shenifka, Shekala Kodshim Shenishchetu Sham Psulim." We'll say, how do we know? So they were discussing this same halacha of Rav. How do we know that if the Mizbeach was chipped, all of the karbanos that were shechted there ultimately are pasul? Shene'emar v'zavachta alaves olasecha v'es shalamecha. So we'll say this is actually quite interesting. So the pasuk over here, which is actually talking about the mizbeach itself, so the pasuk says, you shall shecht on it your olos and your shlamin. Your olos and your shlamin. So we'll say, so there's a problem. Why? V'chi alavat hazvech. So we'll say, if there's one thing we know, it's what? That karbanos are not shechted on the mizbeach itself. Right? We might not remember a lot of the details regarding karbanos, but there's one thing we do remember, which is you don't shecht the karban on the mizbeach. If that's the case, then why does the pasuk say, v'zavachta alavat olosech? And I will say, now the reason why this probably never bothered us before is why? Because normally we would translate the word v'zavachta as how? As how? As offering. But the truth is, the Torah uses the word of karav, the hikrafta, could have used. Zavachta literally means shchita. So why does it say that you shecht on the mizbeach ultimately, again, if shchita doesn't really take place on the mizbeach? V'chi alecha tazavach elo. Rather, what does it come to teach me? Kishuhu shalein velo kishuhu chasem. So we'll say, the way the Gemara darshens it is quite interesting. V'zavachta alav esolasecha means that ultimately, again, when the way the Gemara darshens it is, when the Mizbeach has its identity, i.e. it is intact, then you could go ahead and shecht karbanos. But when the Mizbeach is not intact, and therefore again its identity is not intact, you may not shecht karbanos. So v'zavachta alav, the Gemara is darshening, you may shecht karbanos when? Alav on the Mizbeach, when the Mizbeach is fully intact. But if the Mizbeach is not intact, any karbanos that ultimately you shecht there, the karbanos will be pasul. Amar, so we'll say, when Rav heard this, he said, "Hainukra diishta." Excuse me. When Rav Kahana heard this, he said, "Amar hainukra diishtamet leil Rav." Oh, that's the pasuk. That's the pasuk that Rav was looking for. So we'll say, so this is the position of Rav, that if the mizbeach is chipped in some way, and it seems to be even just a minor chip, that the halacha is any karbanos that are shechted during that time that the mizbeach is not fully intact, ultimately again are pasul. That's Rav. Rabbi Yochanan says, Echad zeh ve'echad zeh psulin. Rabbi Yochanan comes along about saying he has a more expansive position. And he says, Echad zeh ve'echad zeh. If you take a look at Rashi for just a moment, it's in the intermediate wide lines of Rashi. Echad zeh ve'echad zeh. Bein shenishchetu b'shas pigimasan. Bein shenishchetu achar tikuno psulin. Kol hakodshim shayu kedoshin ba'osa shah. We'll say, listen to this. Rabbi Yochanan says, not only are karbanos which are shechted at the time when the mizbeach was chipped, not only are they pasul, but even what? Any karban which was sanctified at the time that the mizbeach was chipped will also be pasul. Will also be pasul. Now what's Rabbi Yochanan's logic? So Rashi says over here, He says, "Lefi sheniru v'nitchu v'kasavar ba'alei chai nitchin kishchutin." So we'll say what Rabbi Yochanan essentially says is as follows: that essentially, when you shecht the carbon, and the mizbeach is chipped, so because the carbon can't be offered up, therefore the carbon is pasul. Okay, that I understand. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if the carbon is still alive, right? The animal is hegged. The animal is mekudash. Animal is kudash, but it can't be offered up. If an animal can't be offered up on the mizbeach, then by definition, what he holds, what we'll see in just a moment, ba'ali chayin nitchin, that even living animals that have a consecrated status could also be set aside for non-use, or could also be possible if at the end of the day their offering is impossible. Because their offering is impossible, because the mizbeach itself is nicked, therefore halacha lemaisa ba'ali chayin nitchin. So we'll say fundamental machlokes in Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav says it's only karbanos that are shechted that become possible when the mizbeach is damaged, but other karbanos which are sanctified, animals which are sanctified but are still alive, are totally fine. You just have to wait for what? For the mizbeach to be repaired. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Both shchutin as well as animals that are consecrated at the time that the mizbeach is nicked, ultimately again will all be pasul lahakrava. So the Gemara says, but my pligi, what are they arguing about? So Rashi kind of already spoiled it a little bit. I mean, not in a bad way, in a nice way. But my pligi, Rav savar ba'alei chayin eino nitchin. So I say Rav holds that living animals cannot be nitchin. Living animals, we'll say, we've seen this concept of dichui, right? We've seen it by karbanos, we've seen it in other circumstances as well. This concept that once something is set aside for non-use, it cannot be reactivated for use at a later time. So Rav holds, ba'ali chayim eino nitchin. Living animals, although they are already consecrated, cannot be nitcha, cannot be set aside from sacrificial use. Only shchutin, only slaughtered karbanos can be set aside for sacrificial use. Rabbi Yochanan sub, Rabbi Yochanan holds, no, ba'alei chayim nitchin. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, not true. Halacha lemaisa, even living animals can be set aside for animal use. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you have an animal designated as a karban, but the problem is what? There is no place, there is nowhere to offer up that karban. Why is there nowhere to offer up that karban? Because halacha lemaisa, the mizbeach is damaged, so halacha lemaisa, we're done. The animal is set aside for non-use. Fine, machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. So meitzve, the Gemara raises the kasha, kol hakodshim shehayu ad shlo nivna hamizbeach. So this is actually a very interesting case. So the Gemara brings the following brisa. Any karbanos, kol hakodshim, any animals that were set aside, that were sanctified, consecrated, ad shlo nivna hamizbeach, before the mizbeach was built, Rashi says over here, ad shlo nivna, mashma kodem shelo banu bnei hagola. So Rashi says over here that it sounds like over here, right, the changes it in the Shita Mekubet says, kodem shebnu bnei teva shelo nimcha. Fine. So what happens? So if you have any karbanos, kolakachim, shahayu achal nivna hamizbeach, so if you have animals that were consecrated as karbanos before the mizbeach was built, v'achar kach nivna hamizbeach, and then the mizbeach was built, psulin. Ultimately, again, the karban is pasul. So what does that seem to indicate? That seems to support the position of Rabbi Yochanan and against Rav. Because what is it? We'll say, essentially, what does the Raisa seem to be saying? If you consecrated an animal at a time that's what? There was no Mizbeach. See, this is a more extreme case. There's no Mizbeach. You consecrated animals before the Mizbeach was built. Right? So what does the Raisa say? The animal was pasul, which Rabbi Yochanan says supports Rabbi Yochanan, who holds Ba'alei Chayim Nitchin, and it's against the Rav, who says, no, it's only Shchutin that are Nitchin, but Ba'alei Chayim Einor Nitchin, to which the Gemara says, V'achach Dina Mizek Psulin. So the Gemara says, Nivne, D'chuyin Me'ikara Ninhu. I don't understand. If we're talking about a case where ultimately, again, the Mizbeach itself was not built yet, then these karbonos are what the Gemara calls duchuyin me'ikar. If you look at Rashi Hain, Rashi says over here, it's the first of the widest lines on the bottom, duchuyin me'ikar Hain, Rashi says, shekishahuk dishu lo niru. So we'll say, if at the end of the day, again, these karbonos, when they were first sanctified, there was absolutely no way to offer them, shmamina dichuy me'ikar hava dichuy, v'tik shalman damar lo hava dichuy, to which the Gemara says, ela ad shelo neheras hamizbeach. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Gemara changes it. What are we talking about over here? We're talking about over here is that ultimately, again, karbanos that were sanctified, achelo neheras hamizbeach, before the mizbeach was destroyed. So essentially, what we're talking about over here is that if you have a carbon, well, this is actually an interesting case. If you have a carbon that was consecrated while the first Beis HaMikdash stood, then what happened? The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and now what happens? You want to offer it up in the second Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so the Gemara says, Neras, I don't understand, how exactly is... Well, so remember again, technically you could have a case like that, because remember, there's only what? There's 70 years in between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. So I'm saying, like, your carbon is going to have an AARP card by the time, but my point over here is, you could have an animal that side, but there's a bigger problem, the Gemara says, it's a possible case. Neras, ha'islamabosai, here's the problem, carbonos age out. So we'll say there's no such thing as the ability to offer up a 70-year-old carbon, right? There's no such thing as the ability to go ahead and do that. The animals aged out from carbonos. Nerasa iskenu elo achelo nifkam hamizbeach va'achar kach nifkam hamizbeach psulin. So essentially the Gemara says is as follows. So the Gemara says, no, what's the case? The case over here is where the animal was consecrated before the Mizbeach was chipped, nifkam, before something happened to the Mizbeach. And what happens? V'acharkach nifkam ha-Mizbeach. And then the Mizbeach becomes chipped. What does the Braisa say? The Braisa says, psulim. So the Braisa seems to very clearly indicate and support us and support Rabbi Yochanan's position. Namely, that what? That halocha l'maisa ba'alei chayi nitchin. And even, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. And even if you have a carbon, ultimately, again, even if you have a carbon that ultimately was alive, but halacha lemaisa, the carbon, the mizbeach became chipped, ba'alei chayim nitchin, supports Rabbi Yochanan against Rav. So which the Gemara says, I don't understand. V'lo tarutzei kamitaratzta, ema shenishchetu. But there's a very easy way to go. We've already spoken about this braisa, and one of the easy resolutions of us have this braisa is to say, what's the case? We're dealing with the case where the carbon was shechted. So we'll say, in other words, what the Gemara is saying over here is you have to amend the braisa. The braisa is not talking about a case of where the animal was just simply consecrated, and then the mizbeach was chipped, and now the braisa is saying that the carbon is pasul. We're talking about a case where what? Where the carbon itself was shechted. So if the carbon was shechted, and then the mizbeach, and ultimately again, they will say, now this is adding something additional in, which is that if the carbon was shechted and the mizbeach was whole, but before it was offered up, the mizbeach was chipped, so ultimately again, the carbon will become pasul. To which the Gemara says, V'hamar av gidlo marav, mizbeach shenet, we'll say, now here we come to a very interesting issue. Now we're going to get to the halacha lemaisa, but we're going to go a little bit deeper. So we'll say again, the point that I need you to remember to keep your eye on the ball over here is machlokes rav and Rabbi Yochanan. What's the machlokes? The mizbeach becomes chipped. Mizbeach gets chipped. Rav says, any karbanos that are shechted during this time are all psulin. Rav Sheet is very understandable. Why are they all psulin, Abosai? Why? Because you're like a karban who's dressed up and nowhere to go. Right, Mamish? I'm ready to be offered, and there's no mizbeach. There's no suitable mizbeach. So if there's no suitable mizbeach, then the karban is pasul. Rabbi Yochanan says, not only karbanos which are shechted, but even karbanos which are consecrated during the time that the mizbeach is unusable are also pasul. This is a fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, and we're understanding that the nature of the machlokes ultimately is rooted in the concept of ba'alei chayin nitchin. Can living karbanos be set aside for non-use because of external circumstances or not? Rav says no, therefore his halacha only applies to shchutin. Rabbi Yochanan says yes. So the Gemara says, but one second, Bam Rav Gidol Marav, this is so interesting. A mizbeach shene'ekar maktirin ketores bimkomo. But we'll say, this is a wild halacha. This is a wild halacha. They will say that ultimately, again, if the mizbeach shene'ekar, if the mizbeach is not there, so Rashi points out over here, mizbeach literally means that the mizbeach is uprooted. Rashi says, "Mizbeach apnimi kamayri." It's four lines up from the bottom in Rashi. The kasagadayt chohuadin lechitzon. So we'll say, listen to this. The Gemara says, "Mizbeach shene'ekar." If the mizbeach, this is talking about the mizbeach hakitoris, the inner mizbeach that was used for incense offering. If the mizbeach was uprooted, maktirin kitoris bimkomo. Ultimately, again, so you could offer up kitoris on the spot of the mizbeach. Both said, you hear this? This is absolutely wild. This is wild. So literally, again, the Gemara is saying over here, Rav Gidol saying the name of Rav, that if for some reason there is no inner or incense mizbeach, you still offer up kitoris where? On the floor, on the spot of the mizbeach itself. Now, both say, why is this important for us? Because this totally changes the previous discussion. Because we would assume whatever applies to the inner Mizbeach also applies to what? To the outer Mizbeach. If that's the case, then what are we effectively saying? That forget about chipped Mizbechos. It would appear that what? Even if you don't have a Mizbeach at all, you can actually go ahead and offer up Karbonos in the spot that the Mizbeach itself stood. Incredible. Incredible. So the Gemara says, fine. So we'll say, no, here's a difference. That ultimately, again, even in that case, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees, bedamim, when it comes to blood applications. And Rashi says over here, three lines up from the bottom, Modo Rabbi Yehuda bedamim, deba'inon mizbeach. So we'll say, here's the difference. There's a difference between the mizbeach pnimi and the mizbeach achitzon. The ketores offering, we'll say, is just simply that. It's offering ketores. By animal sacrifices, you have the issue of zrika. You have the issue, ultimately, of blood applications. Even Rabbi Yehuda, who we're going to see what his sheet is in just a moment, who says that you could offer up ketores on the spot of the Mizbeach, even if there is not an actual Mizbeach, agrees that for animal sacrifices, for karbanos, which require blood applications, you require what? An actual Mizbeach. So even Rav will agree over here that halacha lemaisa, for animal sacrifices, you do actually need a Mizbeach itself in order to have blood applications. So my Rabbi Yehuda will say, what's this sheet of Rabbi Yehuda? In other words, the Gemara just says, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that for blood applications you need a Mizbeach. So what's the position of Rabbi Yehuda? We'll say, listen to this. This Sanya, this is really amazing. Bayomahu kidesh hamelech toch hachotzer. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Pasuk says, on that day. So this is from Malachim Aleph, when Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beis HaMikdosh. So bayomahu, Kidesh HaMelech Toch HaChotzer. So we'll say, so the Pasuk in itself reads as follows. Bayomahu Kidesh HaMelech Es Toch HaChotzer. That day the king consecrated the inside of the courtyard. Asher Lifnei Beis Hashem. That was before. The Gemara doesn't quote this Pasuk. I'm quoting to you the Pasuk. Just so you have the context. Asher Lifnei Beis Hashem. Ki Asa Sham Es HaOla VeEs HaMincha VeEs Chal VeHashlamim. Because he did there, we'll see what the there is. He performed there the Ola, the mincha, the chal v'ashlamim, ki mizbach hanechoshes asher lifnei Hashem, katon mehachil as ha'ola, ve'es ha'mincha, ve'es chal v'ashlamim. Because the mizbeach hanechoshes, literally the copper altar, which I will say is the mizbeach hachitzon, is the outer altar for animal sacrifices, was too small to go ahead and accommodate all of the olos, the mincha, and the chal v'ashlamim. So we'll say, what the Pasuk seems to be describing over here, I'm going to jump on this in the Gemara in just a moment. It sounds like Shlomo HaMelech offered up karbonos on the day of the consecration of the Beis HaMikdash, even beyond the confines of the actual Mizbeach itself. Inside the Beis HaMikdash, but beyond the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because it appears that the Mizbeach was too small to accommodate all of the karbanos that Shlomo HaMelech was bringing. So now, with that pasuk, let's jump back into the Gemara. This Sanya, Bayomahu Kidesh HaMelech Toch HaChotzer. That day, Shlomo HaMelech, so we'll say, here's what we're going to focus on. Shlomo HaMelech consecrated the Chotzer. He consecrated the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Now, here's what's interesting. The Pasuk tells me that he did it. Why did he do it? Now, the Pasuk could remain silent. But yet the Pasuk says he did it. Why? Ki mizbeach, now this is the Gemara adds in, sha'asa Moshe katan ne'achil. See, Moshe, they had a mizbeach. They had a mizbeach. Remember again, Shlomo doesn't need to build the mizbeach from scratch. Which mizbeach did they have, Rabbi Osai? The mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, which was the mizbeach of the Mishkan. So it sounds like what happened over here is as follows. Shlomo HaMelech has a mizbeach. It's the mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the problem? The problem is that it was too small. So what did he do in order to accommodate mass offerings? He was Mekadesh the Ritzpah. He was Mekadesh the Azara. He was Mekadesh the entire courtyard area so as to enable him, it sounds like, to offer up karbonos in that space as well. So watch this. Rabbi Yehuda says, literally, this pasuk is to be understood explicitly as it is written. Now look at Rashi. I told you this is very exciting. Dvarim kichsavan. Three lines are from the Mandarki Yisavan. Shekidesh has haritz bakul l'shem. So here it is. This is wild, no? This is wild. I'm gone for a week, and the excitement factor like totally ebbs away. Nobody's excited about Zvachim anymore. All right, so listen to this. So what happens? Dvarim kichsavan. So the Gemara says over here, the pasuk is to be understood literally. Shekidish es haritz bakula l'shem mizbeach. We'll see, this is wild. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shlomo HaMelech consecrated the entire floor area of the courtyard to have this Mizbeach status. Incredible. So the entire, just so you should understand, this has major ramifications. This has such an incredible ripple effect on so many different levels. The Shaila now is going to become what? Who is able to go into the courtyard? What are you able to do in the courtyard? But whatever, we'll leave that on the side. But the point of Rabbi Yehuda, this is Dvarim Kichsavan. Literally, Shlomo HaMelech was Mekadesh the Ritzpah. He literally consecrated and sanctified the entire floor of the Azara, L'Shem Mizbeach, L'Hakdir Alel, in order to be able to offer up Karbanos. L'Fi Shahaya HaMizbeach Katan Me'achil for one simple reason, this was a simple utilitarian reason, which was the Mizbeach was too small. The Mizbeach was too small to accommodate the sheer volume of all of the Kabbalahs which were being offered up on the day of the dedication of the Mishkan. So we'll say, I want to point something out. This was not an ongoing issue. This was a one-time issue. This was a consecration issue. Right? This was a dedication issue. This was a ribbon-cutting issue. This wasn't, on an ongoing level, the Mizbeach had to be just fine. But the sheer volume of Kabbalahs on dedication day required Shlomo to consecrate the entire floor. Rabbi Yehuda, come on, Rabbi Yehuda, fine. So the Gemara says, that's Rabbi Yehuda. I'm going to Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says him as follows. So we'll say, V'halo kvar ne'emar. Now before you turn the page, go back, right? Look at the last Rashi. Amar Rabbi Yossi, V'halo kvar ne'emar. Mizbeach she'asa Moshe b'midbar shai b'no v'givon. So we'll say, Rabbi Yossi says, one second, Rabbi Yehuda. When it comes to the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu made, now you can turn the page. Amar Rabbi Yossi, V'halo kvar ne'emar. But doesn't it already say, Elef olos ya'ale Shlomo ala Mizbeach ahu? So we'll say, the Pasuk says, that Shlomo HaMelech would offer up 1,000 olos on the Mizbeach. V'ilu bebeis olamim hu omer, v'yizbach Shlomo es zevach ha-shlomim asher zevach la-Hashem, bakar esrim ushnayim elef. So we'll say, now listen to this, that the Pasuk also says, that v'yizbach Shlomo, Shlomo Melech would offer up the zevach ha-shlomim asher zevach la-Hashem, bakar esrim ushnayim elef. Now we'll say, now that Pasuk, that the Gemara is also quoting from Malachim Aleph, goes on to discuss the sheer volume of Karbanos. So just read through the pasuk in its entirety. Vayizbach Shlomo, es zevach haShlomo asher zevach laHashem bakar esrim ushtaim elef tzon mea veesrim elef. So we'll say, just so you should know, on the day of the dedication of the Mishkan, so they offered a total of 142,000 Karbanos. 142,000 Karbanos. Which I will say is a staggering number, but also tells you what? Also tells you what? About the incredible wealth, right? That is a lot of livestock. That's a lot of livestock. So incredible. So watch this. So now we know the Shlomo. So remember, the first pasuk says, Elef olos yal shalom mizbeachahu. The Shlomo was able to offer up 1,000 karbanos on the mizbeach. And on the day of the consecration, he offered up 142,000. Ukisha'ata magia lecheshbon olos, uleminyan amos, ze gadol mizeh. Ultimately, again, I will say, so the Gemara says, and Rashi does all of the calculations with this, which we're just not going to get into, but the point where the Gemara makes is, it sounds like that the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu would have been more than enough to accommodate the carbonic flow of Shlomo HaMelech. And there should have been absolutely no need for Shlomo HaMelech to be Mekadesh the Ritzpah, for him to consecrate the floor to be used for sacrificial use. So we'll say, here's the problem. So now we have a fundamental machlokes, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Dvarim kichsavan. Literally, again, the pasuk says, Rabbi Yossi, I just want to point out, what Rabbi Yehuda has going for him is as follows, which is, that halacha lemaisa is what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, that, Bayomahu kidesh hamalach tocha chaser, kimizbeach katan me'achil. So literally, again, the pasuk says, Shlomo HaMelech consecrated the floor, because the Mizbeach, ultimately, again, was too small to accommodate. So Yehuda says, listen, this is a pasuk in Navi. I'm going to take the pasuk at its face value. The pasuk says that Shlomo HaMelech consecrated the floor of the Azara because there wasn't enough room on the Mizbeach to offer up the Karbanos. Done. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's not true. The Mizbeach of Moshe was large enough to accommodate ultimately, again, what they needed for the consecration day. So if you're Rabbi Yossi, here's the problem, which is what? What do you do with the pasuk? Just what do you do with the pshuto shel mikra? What do you do with the pasuk that says that Shlomo HaMelech was makadesh the ritzbah because the mizbeach was too small? To which Rabbi Yossi will say, so the Gemara says, Elo mahuk, oh, sorry, New Testament days 2, 4, six lines up from the top. So we'll say, what does it mean when it says that the Mizbeach was too small to accommodate? This is actually very interesting. We'll say, the mashal to this is like someone who says that his friend is a midget, and understanding from based on that, then Haloch Lamaise is possible from Avod. Or we'll say, what does this mean? So the mashal, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, suppose that the halacha is that if a kohen has certain mumin, if he has certain blemishes, they disqualify him from being the avod, from doing the avodah. One of them is if a person is a midget, it goes ahead and disqualifies him from doing the avodah. So the Gemara says it's not nice to tell someone. It's not nice to tell someone that they're a puzzle. Nice to tell someone that you're a puzzle from the avodah. So what would you say? You would say the person is a midget. I guess in Talmudic times that was the nice way of saying it. I don't know. I think we could reframe it in different ways. But the idea is that sometimes you can make a statement, and from that statement, you infer other things. So you wouldn't say to someone, you're pasa from the avodah. You would say, oh, Ploni is a nanos, Ploni is a midget. And inferred from that is that what? Is that he can't ultimately do the avodah. So we'll say, so what does that mean for our purposes? Look at Rashi. Ka'adam shomer l'chavero. Like I'm talking to my friend regarding someone, ba'adam shenifso. For someone ultimately, again, who's pasa for the avodah, nanos Ploni. Lishna ma'alya, it's a nice way to say, velo amar nifso ploni. Well, you know, you never want to say another person is puzzle. Never want another person is puzzle. So instead of saying, I don't want to say he's puzzle, say he's a midget. V'nifso la'avoda. Rashi says, lav maskana da adam omer, ela rabbi yosi ka'amar la, va'osa ploni puzzle la'avoda, v'hu kore lo nana. So we'll say, this is actually interesting. So what the Gemara seems to be saying is as follows, that what the pasuk was saying is that ultimately, again, the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu would not ultimately be enough in order to accommodate the carbonic flow. On the day of, it's possible that it could have, but going forward, it wouldn't be enough to accommodate carbonic flow. So instead of going ahead and saying that what? That the Mizbeach of Moshe was puzzle, instead the Gemara kind of uses a little bit of a nicer lashon. I just want to find Kimizbach anachoshes asher lifnei Hashem katan mehachio. So we'll say instead of saying ultimately again, see what the Gemara is saying is as follows. Rabbi Yossi is saying is as follows: is they decommissioned the mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. At the end of the day, Shlomo HaMelech builds his own mizbeach. But instead of saying they pasled the mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? They decided not to use it anymore. Instead, the pasuk just used a little bit of a nice halacha. You know what? It's just too small for our. It's just too small. Too small. Now, was it too small? Was it too small? At least according to Rabbi Yossi, the answer is no. But you don't want to say we're decommissioning the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. So you want to say it's like a big thing. We're decommissioning the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't want to say this. So instead, you just say, you know what? Oh, we need something that could accommodate more people. We need something that could accommodate a bigger flow. But in fact, Rabbi Yossi says, factually, the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was enough. We just didn't want to say he's pasul for the kuna. Instead, we say he's a midget. We don't want to go. It really just doesn't come out right. But you understand, right? I don't want to say that I'm building a new Mizbeach because I don't want to use the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. So instead, we say we need something that could accommodate a greater carbonic flow. Rabbi Yossi says, but when we're factually honest, the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was in fact larger. So we'll say, this is just quite fascinating in general because this is a fundamental historical machlokes in Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, just about the size of the Mizbeach, as we're going to see. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Shafir, Kamar, Rabbi Yossi. So to which the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, I, Rabbi Yossi, saying good. Rabbi Yehuda, Latame, Damar, Mizbeach, Shasa, Moshe, Gadol, Haya. So also Rabbi Yehuda goes according to his reasoning. He says that ultimately it's true. The Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu made was in fact large. Desan, Yochamesh, Amos, Orech. V'chamesh amos rochav. Dvarim kichzavam din Rabbi Yossi. So we'll say, the pasuk says, by the Mizbeach, it was 5 amos in length, 5 amos in width. These are the, and dvarim kichzavam Rabbi Yossi understands the dimensions to be understood literally. Rabbi Huda Omer, ne'emar kan ravua. So we'll say, it says over here that the Mizbeach is to be squared. V'nevar lahalon ravua. And it says over there that the Mizbeach is to be square. So both sides, the Pasuk, so we're going to see over here, by the way, that the Gemara is going to compare the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu to the prophetic vision of Yechezkel. So it says over here, by the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu Rav, was to be square. And it says by Yechezkel is to be square as well. Just like by Yechezkel, ultimately again, the Mizbeach is measured from its center. So too, by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mizbeach was measured from its center as well. And Rabbi said, from where do we know that Mizbeach by Yechezkel, it was measured from its center? To which the Gemara says, "Dechsev v'ha'ariel shteimesrei amo l'chol ruach." Chazbosai, the Pasuk says the Ariel. Now, the Ariel, the Gemara understands over here to be a reference, ultimately, again, Rashi says over here, it's in the wider lines of Rashi, like right in the middle. V'ha'ariel, makom ma'aracha sham mizbeach. We'll say that was the place, the ma'aracha was the pyre, was the pile of wood. So we'll say that area was 12 amos, l'chol ruach, in every direction. O eina elo yud beis al yud beis, or perhaps it was only 12 by 12 in totality. Kishu omer el arba'as reviyav melamed sheme'emtsohu moded. We'll say when it says ultimately again to its four corners, so you understand that it is being measured ultimately again from the middle. Rabbi Yossi will say, ki gamar gzer shava begofu hu digamar. We'll say when you make a gzer shava ultimately again between the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Mizbeach as described in Yechezkel, ultimately, again, that Gezer Shav, Rabbi will say, is made regarding its height. This Sanya, because we learn, the Shalosh Amos Komoso Dvarn Kichsavon. Rabbi will say, the Pasuk says that ultimately the Mizbeach will be 3 Amos in height. These words are to be understood literally, these words are Rabbi Yehuda's position, we've seen this, this is Rabbi Yehuda's position on an ongoing basis. Dvarn Kichsavon, that ultimately, again, we take the Pasuk at its face value, and that Halacha Mais, when it says it was 3 Amos in height, it's 3 Amos in height. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ne'emar Kan Ravua. What's it? Rabbi Yossi says, it says over here, by the Mizbeach, Hachitzon, by Moshe Rabbeinu, the outer Mizbeach of the Mishkan, Ravua, V'ne'emar Lahalon, Ravua. And Rabbi Yossi, it says, so Rabbi Yossi, these two psukim, the first pasuk is by the outer Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the Mizbeach of the Mishkan, and the second Ravua is by the Mizbeach HaPanimi, the inner Mizbeach for Ketores, by Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Ma Lahalon Gov Ho Pishnaim Karko. Just like I will say over there, its height is double its length. Afkan pishaim karko. So to over here again, its height will be double its length. Amrav Yehuda. Valo kvar ne'emar. But the Pasuk already says, Valo kvar ne'emar. V'esachotzer mea amo v'koma chamish amos. Efshar kohen omet agame mizbeach. V'avoda biyado. V'chala am loen osumi b'chol. So I will say, here is the problem. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you go according to these calculations, we'll say, that means that what? That when the Kohen stood on top of the Mizbeach doing the Avodah, he essentially was above the curtains of the Mishkan. As we're going to see in just a moment, there are walls around the Mishkan. Why are there walls around the Mishkan, Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara says, so we understand those walls are to create an atmosphere of privacy. That the Avodah, which we'll discuss this theme in greater depth, but it's new, so it's for modesty purposes, which is the idea that what happens within the Mishkan of Osai is supposed to be a little bit more of a private ordeal. But if you go with the measurements as just espoused, that means that when the Kohen is standing on top of the Mizbeach doing the Avodah, the people could see him on the outside. Efshar Kohen Omed Agabi Mizbeach Va'avodah Biyadah V'chala Amro V'no Osai V'chot. It's not so that the Kohen is standing on top of the Mizbeach doing the Avodah and everyone else sees him. Amr lo Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, one second. Valo kvar ne'emar ve'es kali achatzer ve'es masach shara achatzer asher ala mishkan v'ala mizbeach. We'll say, but the pasuk explicitly says that what? Kali achatzer, which means the posts of the chatzer, masach shara achatzer, literally the curtains, the mechitzos, right? The curtains or the walls of the chatzer, masach shara achatzer. We'll say the masach was the wall. Also, remember, these are all curtain walls, right? The curtain walls of the entranceway to the Mishkan. I'm sorry, just as the walls surrounding the Mishkan ultimately again were 10 amos high, so the Pashtos again, the walls surrounding the Mizbeach, but it's all the same walls, were also 10 amos high. But here's the problem. The other problem is that the Pasuk says that the Kilayim, the other curtains around the Mizbeach, were 15 amos. So what's the top of Samach? Kilayim Chamesh Esrei Amo El HaKosef. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Amo El HaKosef. Eitzel hashar bekasak adaitcha begover ka'amar vuadin l'chalachotzer umat hamud lomar hey amos misvas mizbeach ulemalo. Umat hamud lomar v'shalosh amos kamaso misvas sobeit ulemalo. Let me go back for just a moment. So what the Gemara now is dealing with over here is a very interesting idea, which is, so how tall, the ramifications of the impact of how tall the Mizbeach is, plus has a direct impact on how tall the walls around the Mizbeach are as well. How tall the walls around the Mishkan are as well. Because the assumption is that the goal of the walls is to obscure sacrificial service from the sight of those around, right? Just the outside. So the problem Gemara is encountering is based on the measurements given for the Mizbeach, it would appear that the walls themselves are not tall enough. What the Gemara just wanted to suggest is as follows. The Pasuk says, Kilayim Chamesh Esrei Amo, Amo Ela Kosef. Ma Tamu Lomar He Amos, Misfas Mizbeach Ulamala. So we'll say, so the potential remedy that the Gemara is giving over here is as follows. Look at Rashi, Samech Amud Aleph, second line, Misfas Mizbeach Ulamala, Lemala Min HaMizbeach HaYagovan He Amos. So we'll say, Se'enach Inami, the Gemara is suggesting that the walls of the Mishkan extended 5 amos higher than the top of the Mizbeach. So we'll say, so if you think about that, by the way, so 5 amos higher than the top of the Mizbeach would essentially make the walls what? So about, let's say, 7 feet above the top of the Mizbeach, which would effectively what? Which would effectively screen in the coin, no one would be able to see in. Ayumat Hamud Lomar Shalosh Amos Kamaso. But we'll say, so what's the meaning of the Pasuk? When the Pasuk says that it was only 3 amos, right? That it was only 3 amos kamasa. So we'll say the Pasuk over here that the Gemara is quoting from is Vasisa Mizbeach, I'd say Shitim Chamesh Amos Orech Vechamesh Amos Rochav, Revuya Vesholosh Amos Kamasa. So we'll say here's the problem. So how does that work then with saying, what do you do with the Pasuk that says that the height of the Mizbeach was 3 amos? To which the Gemara says, Misvas Sobev Ulamala. Ultimately, again, when the Torah says that the height of the Mizbeach was 3 amos, that's not measuring from the ground. That's measuring from what we call the sovev. We'll say, as we're going to see, the Mizbeach had like a... what's the right word for it? It's a rim, but it's not on the top. Like a band. Like a band that went around the Mizbeach. It was a beautifully decorated band that went around the Mizbeach itself. We'll discuss it more tomorrow. When the Torah says that the height of the Mizbeach was 3 amos, that's not measured ultimately again from the ground, but rather what is that measured from? From the band and upwards was 3 amos. So both say what comes out, we're actually going to stop over here because I want to tell you 2 pieces of halacha lemaisa. What seems to be coming out of here, Bosai, is what? Is that halacha lemaisa, that in fact the height of the walls extended 5 amos above the top of the Mizbeach, which Abosai makes the walls a little bit larger than we originally thought. We're going to discuss this more tomorrow, but that's how the Gemara is understanding. So everyone's agreeing that the Kohen needs to be walled in for the Avodah, and halacha lemaisa, the walls extended 5 amos above the top of the Mizbeach. So we'll say, this is all Rabbi Yossi. We're going to have to come back tomorrow morning to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, but let me just, so we'll stop over here for today, but let me just end off with 2 important pieces of halacha lemaisa. So we'll say, remember again, you've been thinking this entire time, but 1 second, whatever happened to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, right? Remember them? Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. So what was the machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan? We'll say that what happens if you go out and you shecht a karbon at a time when the Mizbeach is unusable? So remember again, the example the Gemara gave for unusability is what? Is if the Mizbeach was chipped. So Rav says, any karbonos shechted during that time will be pasul. Rabbi Yochanan says, not only karbonos which are shechted, but what? But what? Even karbonos which are designated will be pasul. As we'll say, how do we pass them? So watch this. The Rambam in Psuli HaMukdashin. Psuli HaMukdashin writes as follows. This is Parakim HaLocha Chaf Beis. Get ready. Mizbeach Shenifkam, Nifsalu Kalakajim Shayisham Shchutim B'Mikdash, Shadai Lo Nizrak Taman. We'll say the halacha is that if the Mizbeach was chipped and therefore unusable, because we established the Mizbeach must be whole in order to be used, any karbonos that were shechted, that have not yet had zrika done, ultimately, again, are puzzles. So what the Rambam just added in is something very important, which is what? Which is what? And this is really dramatic. It goes without saying that what? That any karbonos which were shechted after the Mizbeach was chipped, Simi will be possible. Right? That goes without saying. But even what? I'll tell you something even bigger, which is, even carbonos which were shechted before the Mizbeach became chipped, but what? Did not yet have Zrika done on the Mizbeach, will be possible as well. Shari'in Sham Mizbeach Lizrak Alav. Because also remember again, we've already seen the Ikar is Zrika. And if there is not an intact Mizbeach for Zrika purposes, then ultimately again, the Karbanos will be possible. Shari'in Sham Mizbeach Lizrak Alav Dam. V'namar V'zavachta Alavis Onlosecha V'shlamecha Kilomar Tizbach V'omid B'tikuno Alapagam. We'll say, watch this. So therefore again, the Rambam says, Halacha L'maisa number one, any Karbanos which were shechted while the Mizbeach was chipped, or even Karbanos which were shechted before the Mizbeach became chipped, but what, did not yet have Zrika done, will be possible. Chav Gimel, Aval Kodshim Chayim Shahayusham Bazar Kishanifgam Lo Nifsalu. Rabbi say the Rambam says we do not paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Any animals which were already consecrated, or even were consecrated at the time the Mizbeach were chipped, do not become possible. Ella, Kishayibana HaMizbeach Yikrevu She'ein Ba'alei Chayim Nitchin. Because we'll say ultimately again, what happens? Halacha L'maisa, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, we paskin like Rav. Ein Ba'alei Chayim Nitchin. So what happens if you consecrated a carbon at the time? That what? That the Mizbeach was chipped? Or you consecrated it before it became chipped, and then it became chipped? We'll say, what's the status of the carbon? What's the status of the carbon? It's kosher. It's kosher. You just what? You just what? Now, you can't do anything with it. You just have to wait ultimately again until ultimately the Beis HaMikdash, until the Mizbeach is repaired. And ultimately again, you'll be able to go ahead and offer it then. I will say now one more piece. So I will say, therefore, we see halacha l'maisa, who do we paskin like? We paskin like Rav. That it is only karbonos which are shechted that ultimately are negatively impacted, but karbonos which are just consecrated are not negatively impacted by the inability to offer them up on the Mizbeach. One more piece, and then we'll go. We'll stop for today. Chav Dalet, get ready for this. This is fascinating. Hikdish behemos achil of nivna ha-Mizbeach. We'll say, what about a case where I was makdish a karbon before the Mizbeach was even built? So I'll say, let's say today, I believe in Mashiach so much that I want to have an Ola. I just want to have an Ola in my backyard. I know I can't do anything with it right now, but I just want to buy it, and I want to consecrate it. So I'll say, so what's the halacha? So hikdish famous. So now, this is halacha l'maisa. I can't say I've gotten many shilas about this, but I could imagine that a person's, I'm very messianically oriented. I want to go ahead and I want to buy a carbon. I want to buy makdish it now. I know I can't do anything for it, but I want to hold it until Mashiach comes to the Beis HaMikdash as rebuilt. So can I do it? Hikdish famous achlo nifna hamizbeach kishi ibana makriven also. Shadichui meikara eno dichui. We'll say halacha l'maisa, it's okay. The cut meaning of, we'll say, even though we do not paskin that dichui meikara dichui, we do not say that ultimately, again, consecrating an animal when there is no mizbeach permanently sets it aside for non-use. So halacha l'maisa, if you want to go ahead and set aside a karban now, technically speaking, you could go ahead and do it. Obviously, it's not a good idea because you have to go ahead and hold on to that carbon ultimately until the Beis HaMikdash comes. But technically, if a person were to do it, if you were to consecrate an animal now, even though there is no Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash comes, you have the absolute ability to be makrivit. Shach, so we'll stop over here. So it depends. Then it depends on the mechanism with which you consecrated it. Did you say Hare Zu, Hare Alai? If it was just, let me move this. If you were to just say, this animal is a carbon, and if it dies, your obligation is nothing.
Private show.
Yeah, I want to be on it. But it's, you know.